Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Obviously a massive challenge, but I really think a huge key in this game is their young linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper. He has been, I don't know, off the field this year, but when he's on the field, their run defense is absolutely legit, number one. I think he's got a really good feel for defeating or deceiving.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Double teams, like hopping up, here comes that double team, and then athletic enough to play over the top with some suddenness.
That's Dan Orlovsky from ESPN talking about Edgerrin Cooper and the key. And he's not alone nationally and locally. A lot of people have been talking about the impact that Edgerrin Cooper could have on this game after only playing 11 snaps in that first meeting in Brazil. My name's Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. You're listening to the Mason Crosby Show right here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Once again, our thanks to Dario Melendez from ABC Channel 12 Sports Director for jumping on and previewing things from a Green Bay side and his travels to Philadelphia. Speaking of Philadelphia, joining us now, afternoon host, WIP in Philadelphia, longtime radio host. If you're a sports radio knucklehead like I am, you've heard of this guy and you've heard some great stuff from him. It's Spike Eskin joining the show. Spike, thanks so much for taking some time.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the kind words as well.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, so I was born and raised in Boston, but I listened to a lot of Boston and New York sports talk growing up. I know you made the switch over to The Fan and then came back home to Philly. And I think it's just got to be like, before we get into the game on Sunday, like I feel like Philly runs through your blood, does it not?
Yeah, there's something about people from here that they always end up coming back. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Nobody leaves Philly and stays away for too long. So I enjoyed my time in New York, but Philly is definitely home, and it certainly feels right to be back here.
All right. And for all of our fans and all of our listeners who are planning on making the trip, maybe have a flight tonight, flight tomorrow morning, we are Midwest kind. We are Midwest nice, you know, and we know we're coming into enemy territory in Philly. Is there reason to be scared, or is there what are the fun things to do in Philly that people can really take advantage of?
I don't think there's a reason to be scared. It's funny. I lived in Chicago for a couple of years, and I was actually taken aback by how nice everyone was.
Yep.
I wasn't used to it. I don't think there's any reason to be scared. What I would be aware of is that you will not go unverbally assaulted, right? Like, if you're going to wear Packers gear, people
Absolutely.
Are going to scream stuff at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, and I would just, my recommendation to everyone is have fun with it. Just like, cool it. Don't look for anything and nothing will find you, I think is a fair way to say it.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. As far as like what to do, I mean, Philly has grown up, I think, a lot in the last 10 or 15 years as a great food town. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know people from the Midwest like to eat.
Yes, we do.
There are a lot of places to eat in Philadelphia. So rather than giving, you know, if I know everybody wants a cheesesteak recommendation. So I'll give that, I guess. There's a place in South Philadelphia called Angelo's.
Okay.
Where if you're going to have one cheesesteak and one piece of pizza, I would go to Angelo's. That's nice. The place I would go. Yep.
I love that. All right, Spike Eskin, WIP in Philadelphia, afternoon host, joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. Mitch Thundernellis in today. And so we've got you know, rematch of week one in Brazil. The teams are vastly different, but actually surprisingly familiar. Like, I always talk about how you can't really judge an NFL team in September and October because they're going to look so different, whether it's injuries or whether it's, you know, based on your expectations versus what a team is now. But you look at these two teams, they're pretty similar to what we saw of those, you know, Edrin Cooper's going to play more. You've got a couple rookie guys in your secondary who obviously are going to play more. How have the Eagles grown up since that first week in Brazil?
You know, I'll be honest with you. When we've talked about that game this week, whether it be with players or among ourselves, it actually feels like 100 years ago and a different team from an Eagles perspective.
Okay.
They have grown up, I would say that they've grown up on both sides of the ball. Defensively, it is really night and day between before the bye in week five and after the bye. And I would say the biggest difference is they were a bad tackling team in the first 4 weeks of the season, missing like 16 tackles, 17 tackles. And we heard it from Sirianni and from Vic Fangio, and they really just changed how they practiced and they changed how they played, and they swarm to the ball now. They tackle. I would say they're one of the best Eagles tackling teams I've ever seen.
Okay.
You know, so they defensively, they are a different team. They are a much stronger team. And there's two guys that you mentioned in the secondary. Quinion Mitchell played in that game.
Right.
But Cooper DeJean did not. And he has been sort of a revelation as playing like the nickel corner, and has been very good. Like,
Spike, we wanted him here. We wanted him in Green Bay. Like, we, you know, obviously he's an Iowa kid, so we watched him in the Big Ten. He was on the list of guys we wanted in Green Bay.
Well, he's just he fits the defense because he plays tough and he swarms to the ball, and he's a good athlete. But I think as the nickel guy, you know, in that first game, the Packers burned Avonte Maddox a bunch of times, and that is the spot that Cooper DeJean is playing in, and he's been really, really good. And I know I think people assumed he would be an outside corner when he got drafted, but I think he fits really well where he's playing now. And from an offensive perspective, you know, I don't think the Eagles ever planned to play the way that they're playing now. I think they planned to play the way that they were playing when in week one, you know, throwing the ball a lot more than they do now. But they also, the offense made an adjustment around that bye week and has been, this is the most run heavy team. And the Eagles under Nick Sirianni and with Jalen Hurts there have always been a pretty heavy run team, but running the ball 60% of the time is not something I've ever seen as an Eagles fan. So they've become very risk averse from a passing perspective, and they really use that offensive line, which is very, very good, to just sort of wear the defense down. And hopefully by the third or fourth quarter, that's when Saquon Barkley ends up popping one for 40 yards or 50 yards.
Sure.
So they've changed a lot, I think. The personnel is very similar, but I think how they play on both sides of the ball is really different from week one.
Yeah, here with Spike Eskin of WIP Radio in Philadelphia here on the Mason Crosby Show. Spike, I just wanted to ask real quick, I think that of anyone at this station over here now in WSSP, I think I have found the most confidence in Green Bay against Philadelphia. And I want to ask from a Philadelphia point of view, how are you feeling about the resting of your starters in the last week? And Jalen Hurts now 3 weeks off coming into the playoffs. I assume he's going to play. I assume he's going to clear the protocol. I don't think that you guys are going to be down anyone, it seems like. But How do you feel about coming off the rest versus rust conversation when Philadelphia had their spot locked up last week, and now you got to lock in for a playoff matchup?
I am a pro rest guy. We've had that debate on our show. I do the show with Ike Reese, who's a former Eagle and a special teams tough guy, and he is not big on the rest thing. But when you have the bye as early as the Eagles did, you know, which was week five, and it, not just for the skill players, you know, AJ Brown's been nursing a knee. I don't think Jalen could have played even if they decided to play the starters. He wasn't out of protocol last week, but I think also the offensive line, which has done a great job playing that many weeks consecutively, and just, you know, it makes me sound like a wimp. Ike always says this, that he's like, cry me a river, play the violin like they're playing football. But I think when I would say, on one hand, because the bye was so early for the Eagles, and on the other hand, because they're going into a playoffs where if they go to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to win three games rather than two. So buying a week there for everyone to just not grind their bodies up. Injury aside, just from a rest standpoint, I was in favor of it. Though I am a little concerned, and they're not really in control of this, of, you know, Hurts not playing a game or practicing for almost 3 weeks. He practiced on Wednesday, practiced yesterday, but A.J. Brown didn't practice really Wednesday or yesterday, so those two have not had time on the field together and likely won't since the Washington game.
Spike Eskin, WIP in Philadelphia, joining us, and that was going to be my next question specifically about Jalen Hurts, and there's a difference, right, between rest when it's you know, team rest and everybody's resting because you're slotted into your playoff spot versus forced rest because you're in concussion protocol and coming back from that. And is there concern or fear that Jalen Hurts is a different rusty than the guys who had rest, who might have a little rust on them but are now healthier and more fit? Is there a worry that Jalen's just like, you know, it takes a little while to shake off those cobwebs or to really feel comfortable back in that pocket?
Yeah, I think there has to be. You know, there's our fans here are very confident. You can't, I mean, he didn't practice for almost 3 weeks. That's right. A lot of time not to do something, even when you're familiar with doing it.
Sure.
You know, I mentioned on the show yesterday, we were off for about a week and a half at the end of the year. I've been in radio for 30 years. I came back the first couple of shows and I felt like I hadn't done a show in like ever. It felt like it was new to me. And this is something I've been doing my entire life. So I think there's no doubt there should be at least some worry that his rhythm and even like the sort of, I thought you were going to go this way and you go that way. You know, one of those things where, you know, you throw a pass, you think AJ's going one way, he's going the other way, and it ends up being a turnover.
Right.
Those are the things that worry me. Now, I guess this has been a negative all year, and maybe it's a positive here. The Eagles have started slowly offensively just about every game of the year. They were up until the Pittsburgh game a few weeks ago. I think they had scored 17 total first quarter points all year.
Wow.
Yeah, they and I think they're mid-pack in first half points, and if you take away the last few weeks, they're bottom third in first half points. So they've taken a while to get going all year long. So I guess the positive would be if that happens here, they're used to it. It's not something they haven't done before, but I don't want to go into a playoff game optimally with the quarterback having barely played for almost a month.
I think that's fair, and it's interesting you talk about the slow starts, because here in Green Bay, we've also talked about how the Packers have had pretty slow starts, specifically against the Vikings and Lions in those bigger games that they haven't been able to get over the hump and beat a team that has a better record than them or is above them in the standings. And we've been talking about it all week long, how important a fast start will be for Green Bay, not just on the field, but also to keep that crowd out of the game. What type of impact does the Philly crowd have on this game, especially if Philly gets things rolling?
Well, it's like a it can be a real positive or it can be a real negative because of how emotional they are.
Sure.
You know, I remember the NFC Championship game in 2018, you know, the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl against the Vikings. And the Eagles had a pick. Patrick Robinson intercepted a pass and ran it back for a touchdown. And the crowd erupted in a way that just sitting there, I was like, well, the Vikings are never winning this game.
Right.
Like, this is the energy here is so when it hits at that spot, if the Eagles start off good, I think the crowd is a major, major weapon.
Yep.
However, if it starts slow, like it has, they have no problem booing their own.
Letting them know.
Yes, they have no problem getting quiet. Like I would say that, you know, passionate is a good way to describe them. But when you're really passionate, it goes both ways. And I think it can be an emotional crowd that at times, and I think this is for the other teams too. At times, it can cause, I think, an extra stressor for the home team if things aren't going well because of that edge that the crowd has. So I think if the Eagles start off strong, it can be a major, major, major asset. I think if they start off slow, it can be a detriment.
We made our predictions here on the Mason Crosby Show at the end of the last hour. Mason's off today, but he did call into the show and he gave his prediction. I don't know if you guys do score predictions or if you're a little stitious or superstitious or jinx worthy or whatever it might be. But do you have a predicted score in this game?
I will give it to you as long as you don't tweet it out or anything, so I can still do it on my show as if I've never done it before.
I promise.
Deal.
Deal. Done.
Okay. So I am more worried about this game than I think most of Philadelphia. And even the experts we've had on, everybody's like, well, the Eagles are more talented. They're at home, so on and so forth. I am a little concerned. I'm concerned about the slow start. I'm concerned about Jalen. I'm actually concerned about A.J. Brown basically not practicing for 2 weeks. And the Packers, while inconsistent, are a really good offensive team and a really good defensive team on the whole. So I have the Eagles winning 23-21. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it could come down to, this sounds like, something somebody always says, it could come down to who has two turnovers and who has one, at the end of the day.
That,
it could be one of those
things. That's a real thing that it comes down to sometimes, though, so that's fair.
Yep, and the Eagles have been very good protecting the ball since the bye, since they scaled back the pass game. So I think because they're at home and because there is a talent advantage, ultimately the Eagles will win. But I do think it will be close, and so I have it as a 2-point game.
So Mason's right on line with you. He has Philly winning 24-20. It hurt him a little bit to make that pick, but that's what he picked. Tommy, do you want to tell Spike your predicted score in this one?
Yeah, I have it a close game as well. I just really think that the number coming out as low as it did in Vegas has me thinking that something's going to happen in this game. I know it's up to 5 now instead of at that 3.5 mark, but I like Green Bay to really have no pressure again on this game. They're supposed to lose, and Philadelphia coming off resting everyone and Jalen Hurts not playing for 3 weeks. It seems like a recipe that favors Green Bay everything pregame to this.
So you've got the Packers winning 28-24. Now, Spike, I'm the contrarian, and I'm not proud of this, and I'm not rooting for it, but I've actually got Philly 31-17. I do think that this is one of those games that I think to your point, neither team really starts fast, but Philly gets control sometime in that second quarter and really starts pushing it in the second half. You know, once Jalen and AJ feel comfortable, I think they're able to throw the ball around the yard a little bit in that third and fourth quarter, and they do end up pulling away 31-17. So I hope it goes the other way, of course, as a Packers fan. I like the Eagles in this one. I got to be honest.
Yeah, the more surprising number there in your score is the 31.
Yes,
I mean, the Eagles defense just has, since Tampa lit them up in week 4, there's not an offense that has really produced against them past the first quarter.
Right.
So, I think they've allowed 17.5 points a game. So that, I don't think your score is impossible at all, but your lips to God's ears. I hope you're right.
Yep. Now I want to switch gears for one second before we let you go. I know you're a little bit of an NBA knucklehead. 76ers, yeah. 15, you know, Sixers and Bucks have had a pretty big rivalry over the past five, six seasons. The Sixers started out really poorly, as did the Bucks. The Bucks have righted the ship a little bit. Philly's righted the ship maybe a little bit less, but still a little bit. We're, you know, at 15 and 20, we're still not at the halfway point. How are you feeling about the Sixers right now?
Just doesn't feel like it's the year.
Yeah,
you know, it was such a good off season and as good as it could have been, but the main three guys, Maxey, George, and Embiid, I think when they all start and finish the game together, they're 7-1, which
sure.
is awesome.
Yep.
But then you realize we're in the middle of January and they've only played 8 games together.
I hear you.
So, yep. you know, like how is that supposed to work? So, and Embiid's out again tonight with a foot yeah. sprain and all that sort of stuff. So it just, there's glimpses of it, but I can't figure out a way that they're actually going to play enough games together this year to make a meaningful playoff run. Now, I think it's funny, if they're healthy, I think they could beat any team in the East.
Yeah.
But when you start talking about the playoffs, you have to do that 4 times. And I don't think you go from play-in, which is where they probably will, and then beating Cleveland or Boston and then beating the other one. And it just doesn't feel like it's going to come together this year.
All right. Well, Spike, we'll get you on later on in the winter to specifically talk some Sixers and Bucks and NBA basketball, if that's cool. I think we'd have a lot of fun doing that because I'm a bit of an NBA knucklehead myself. But I want to thank you so much for your time today. Enjoy the city this weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Hopefully not too much. But you know, I never root against a colleague. So good luck on Sunday. And again, really appreciate you taking the time today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks so much. That is Spike Eskin, WIP in Philadelphia, afternoon host. Like I said, when we brought him on, he's been doing sports radio for a long, long time. His dad was a legend in Philadelphia and just do amazing, amazing things there. So thanks to Spike for jumping on and giving us the eye on the enemy, the view on what's going on in Philadelphia, how they're feeling about things. He's got 23-21. So, you know, again, a 23-21 game is the way the ball bounces on a random play in the third quarter, that game could go either way.
Yeah.
He's flipping the coin.
That should give you way more confidence, again, as a Packers fan.
It does make me feel a little bit better. It does move the needle a little bit from scared to just nervous.
Okay.
Which I think nervous is healthy, right? Right? In general.
You should be nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay to be nervous. Scared's a little much, and I'm still a little scared that the doors get blown off.
Is excited not just positive tone nervous?
Of course it is. Of course. And if you can harness and channel that energy, then you're really onto something. If you can bottle that stuff, you got some things going on. So again, thank you to Spike Eskin for jumping on. We're going to do a real brief Thunder watch when we come back and, of course, offer our final thoughts headed into, I could see it. We got a little sprinkle going on here, but I can see the weekend on the horizon. Cannot wait for this one. My name's Mitch Nellis. Tommy Wirtz is here as well. We are the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.